Okay, my name is Molly Marin. I'm the webinar coordinator for the New York State RTI Technical Assistance Center. A few reminders before we get started. All upcoming professional development offerings are available on our webpage, including two more webinars in today's strand on dialogic reading. More information can be found on our webpage at nysrti.org. A copy of today's PowerPoint, as well as a video and handouts, are available on our webpage. If you go under webinars and then today's webinar title, you'll find those. During today's presentation, please use the chat box for any questions or comments that you may have. And at the end of today's presentation, I will post a link to a very brief evaluation. If you could please take a few moments to complete that, we do appreciate that feedback. We are very pleased to have Dr. Sharon Palsha with us today to present our Strand 9 series, Dialogic Reading as a Tier 1 Intervention in a Pre-K RTI Model. Today's topic is Overview of Dialogic Reading. Dr. Sharon Palsha is a clinical associate professor and the coordinator of Child Development and Family Studies Program at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Dr. Palsha has 38 years' experience working with children and families. She spent 8 years as a classroom teacher before attending graduate school. She earned her doctorate in education from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill with a concentration in early childhood and early childhood special education. Currently, she is a clinical associate professor at UNC, where she has worked for 13 years preparing undergraduate students as early childhood educators who will teach young children ages birth to five. Her early childhood students have been using dialogic reading successfully for many years during their student teaching and then in their own classrooms. Before taking the job as a professor, Dr. Palsha spent 15 years as a researcher at the Frank Porter Graham Child Development Institute. She continues to maintain affiliation with Frank Porter Graham Child Development Institute as an FPG fellow. She played an instrumental role in developing the dialogic reading module with the FPG Connect project and is very excited to share today's webinar topic on dialogic reading. And at this time, it's my pleasure to welcome Dr. Sharon Palsha.
Thank you, Molly, and welcome to all of you who are participating in today's webinar. I'm sorry that I cannot be with you in person, speaking into a computer when I'm told there are so many of you out there is a challenge for me. I would prefer to see you directly, to get your responses to what I'm presenting, to ask questions as I'm going along, but I am happy to be sharing today what I believe is something that's really important information. And therefore, if this is the way that it needs to happen, then let us begin. I am coming to you today from Chapel Hill, North Carolina, as Molly said. And we have a very beautiful campus. This is our old well in the central part of our campus. And so I would encourage you to take a trip in the spring when it really is spectacularly beautiful. As was noted in my introduction, I had the good fortune of working with Dr. Tam Winton and her team at the Frank Porter Graham Child Development Institute in Chapel Hill to develop a Connect module related to dialogic reading, and have been using that information that I will share with you this afternoon and over the next 2 weeks with great success for many years with early childhood teacher candidates at UNC. Therefore, it is a topic that is very important to me because of the potential dialogic reading has to enhance the language and literacy skills of young children. And I hope that you will find this information extremely useful in your work. You are going to have the opportunity to practice what you learn in your classroom before the third webinar so you can share your experiences and ask me questions and ask questions to each other. Please feel free to type questions as we go along today. I will try to answer them, but if it makes sense, more sense, I might just wait until the end of this presentation because some of your questions may be answered as I'm going along. I will definitely leave time at the end to respond. I'd really like to know who today's participants are, that is, who's listening in today. So Molly's going to help me run a poll right now. and I hope you'll participate. All right, it looks like we have a lot of pre-K teachers, but a lot of others. So I don't know if you guys would mind just chatting really quickly. Who are our others? Because you're as many as the pre-K teachers that are on. Okay, curriculum coordinator. Ah, good, early childhood specialist. UPK consultant, speech-language pathologist, awesome. Language is important to you. Another speech pathologist, and school psychologist. I love it, a very interdisciplinary audience. So that's exciting, all the individuals who are so important in the lives of young children. So our goals for today, and thank you for participating in that, is to understand what dialogic reading is, to understand what makes dialogic reading different from other types of reading, to identify the research basis for dialogic reading, learn the key features on dialogic reading, and understand why dialogic reading is foundational RTI Tier 1 intervention strategy. I would hope that all of you would agree how important it is to read to young children. And I trust that if I have the opportunity to travel to New York today and have the opportunity to visit each of your classrooms, I would see you reading to children, and I hope I would see you reading at least one book to your class every day. I hope that, yeah, you would understand that the benefits of reading to young children are many. Reading aloud is actually widely recognized as the single most important activity leading to language development. And this is particularly true for doing dialogic reading, as we will discuss in detail today. Secret to school success. Many studies have shown that children who are read to at an early age do better when they receive formal education. Children who are read to have higher aptitude for learning in general. The basics of how to read a book. Children are not born with the innate knowledge of how to read a book. You demonstrating how to turn the pages is an important skill for the children to learn. Children begin to see words as separate from illustrations. Another importance of reading to children is they develop better logical thinking skills. They begin to develop their ability in grasping abstract concepts. They begin to apply logic in various scenarios and begin to recognize cause and effect. Children begin to relate to what is happening in the story of a book with what is happening in their own lives. And I will tie this back to distancing questions when I introduce the questioning strategies used in dialogic reading. Children who are exposed to larger and richer vocabularies do better in school, and we know that reading books helps children expand their vocabulary. Research has shown that children who are read to at an early age have a better grasp of the fundamentals of language as they approach school age. So it's quite tragic, the difference that Hart and Risley found in children's vocabulary development and what they call the 30 million word gap by age 3. From this table, you can see that at the age of 3, children in professional families have heard an average of over 2,000 words per hour. Children in working class families, approximately 1,200 words. And children living in poverty, only 616 words per hour. And so what does that mean for their vocabulary? Their research found that children at age 3 in professional families had a vocabulary of over 1,100 words children in working class families, 749 words, and children living in poverty, only a vocabulary of 525 words. So what makes dialogic reading different? We just said that reading picture books with young children is a great way to teach vocabulary and help children develop language and literacy skills. But did you know that how you read to children is as important as how often you read to them? Dialogic reading is a method that helps young children become involved in the story. Research has proven that dialogic reading encourages language development substantially more than traditional storybook reading. So, if your goal is to boost communication skills, then dialogic reading is critical. Encouraging young children to talk about the books you are reading to them is important. This allows the child to build his or her communication and language skills. And this, Dr. Whitehurst, one of the developers of dialogic reading, stated that just as you would not expect children to learn how to play the piano just by listening to someone else play it, the same is true for reading. Children will not learn how to read just by listening. They have to have the opportunities to be engaged in book reading. So what you often see in a pre-K classroom is teacher reading and children listening. And that's not to say that this isn't important. Children, again, being exposed to books is important. But in dialogic reading, what you want to see is children participating in a story, participating in a very intentional and a very purposeful way. And you will learn today how to do that in intentional planning. So important, again, for children to be engaged in a conversation with you around the book. I'm going to stop talking for a second, and we're going to watch a very brief video where Dr. Lonergan explains the research behind dialogic reading. So I love how Dr. Lonergan says that dialogic reading should be fun. So its research has shown that dialogic reading enhances children's language and it's fun. And I'll never forget one of my students, after learning how to do dialogic reading, said just that when she finished. And we were having our conference afterwards. She was like, oh my gosh, that was so much fun. And did you notice that I never had to call on any of the children to settle down or whatever? They were so engaged in the book. And so that's what I hope will happen for any of you who have not tried this type of reading before, that it's fun for both you and, you know, the adults and the children, and it's easy to learn how to do this. So, dialogic reading is a specific type of interactive reading. It's designed to create a conversation with children around the book. That is, you are in a dialogue with children around the book. That's the word term, dialogic reading. It's designed for children to take an active role in storytelling. And it relies on a set of strategies called PEER. And the PEER stands for prompt, evaluate, expand, and repeat, which we will learn more about. So you're going to add two important acronyms to your vocabulary today. I know the world of early childhood education and early childhood special education is filled with acronyms, and now you will have two more. So the type of strategy here is to prompt the child to say something, so to ask them a question. The child will respond. You will evaluate the response. Expand on that child's response, and I will say that this is one of the more difficult things for my student teachers to do, but all of you are seasoned teachers, so I hope that you will pick up on that, and then repeat the prompt. The prompt, this is the CROWD acronym. There are different types of questions to ask. Completion questions, recall questions, open-ended questions, the where, what, why, when questions, and distancing questions. So I'm going to demonstrate with a book here shortly. I'm going to read Eric Carle's The Very Hungry Caterpillar to you. I hope you will bear with me as I pretend to have a child audience in front of me. And after reading a few pages, you would leave out the word hungry. That's a completion prompt. And the caterpillar was still, and you wait, you pause, you want the children to repeat the vocabulary word hungry. And when the child responds with that, the teacher expands by saying, yes, wow, that caterpillar was extremely hungry. It is eating so much. So you give the child additional language. Recall, that's just what it says. You ask the child to recall something that they have heard in the story. So what did the caterpillar eat through on Monday? And the child responds, apple. And you, the adult, yes, the caterpillar ate a hole through a big, red, juicy apple. Open-ended is just what it says. Ask children questions that don't have a yes or no response that allows them to be involved in the conversation. If you are a caterpillar and very hungry, what is your favorite food that you would want to eat? The who, what, why questions. What did the caterpillar do when it hatched out of the egg? Yes, it began to eat so much. And distancing questions are the ones that really get children excited and are very good for them because it connects their life to the book. Remember when we saw the caterpillar on the playground? Did you think it might be searching for food? Have you ever seen a butterfly? Tell me about it. If you could change into something, what would you choose? Few more dialogic reading strategies before reading, and I would say this is true for any type of reading you do. You want to introduce the title of the book, the author, and the illustrator, and ask the question to create interest in the book or the purpose for why you are reading the book. During reading, you're going to use the CROWD prompts and the PEER sequence of prompts, then evaluate the child's response, expand on that child's response, and then have the child repeat after you or repeat with an additional prompt. after reading, you don't want to simply just close the book and say, the end, but ask questions to help children recall the story and make connections to their lives. So it's a perfect place to ask a distancing question. So as I read The Very Hungry Caterpillar, notice the different kinds of prompts that I use. And I've put the prompts on yellow sticky notes so that you will see if it's a completion prompt, leaving out part of the sentence, a recall, remembering back to parts of the story, open-ended, just what that is called again, allows children to talk, the who, what, where, and why, and when, and then distancing, connects the story to the children's lives. And I'll also demonstrate again how to expand on the children's responses. So, here we go. The Very Hungry Caterpillar by Eric Carle. That means that Eric Carle is the author. He wrote the words of the story. And in this book, Eric Carle is also the illustrator. That means that he made the pictures as well. So what do you think this book is going to be about? And the children hopefully would answer caterpillar. And you, the teacher, would say, yes, what kind of caterpillar? And of course, you hope the children would say, a very hungry caterpillar, or you would prompt for that. Well, let's begin to read. In the light of the moon, a little egg lay on a leaf. These first prompts are a conversation around the pictures, and so many of them are just simple what, where, why questions. Can you see the tiny white egg? And the child says yes. And what is the egg on? And the child, leaf. And the teacher, expansion, yes, a dark green leaf. In the light of the moon, a little egg lay on a leaf. Additional prompts related to this. And what is this? As she points to the moon. And the child, moon. Teacher, expansion, yes, the moon. And what shape is the moon? As she traces the shape of the moon. Yes, the shape is a circle. When the moon is a circle shape, we call that round. Everyone say that with me, the round moon. And the children repeat, the round moon. Teacher, and what color is that round moon? And the child, white. Teacher, expansion here. Yes, a round white moon is shining on the tiny white egg that lays on the dark green leaf. One Sunday morning, the warm sun came up and pop! Out of the egg came a tiny and very hungry. You pause. You want the children to respond with caterpillar. So you're leaving that word out. Teacher, expansion, yes, a tiny, very hungry caterpillar. Can everyone say that after me? And now a child is excited, they're involved in the book, and they shout out, I can see the sun smiling on the caterpillar. And you as a teacher are not going to say, remember, I'm reading, you are listening. But you're going to be excited that they are sharing their language with you. And the teacher expansion will be, yes, I see the orange sun smiling on the caterpillar too. What do you think the caterpillar will do now? Teacher listens for predictions. He is going to look for food. Teacher, why do you think that? Well, when you're hungry, you want food. Teacher, that is a really good reason. So then let's keep reading and find out. He started to look for some food. Looks like you were right. He did start to look for food. So I hope you're starting to see this, that you are in a dialogue. You're in a conversation around this book. Let's see what he eats first. On Monday, he ate through one apple, but he was still hungry. What is the caterpillar eating? Teacher responds, apple. And here again, you can expand. Yes, an apple, followed by a WH question. Can you tell me what color the apple is? Teacher might need to scaffold for the child, or the child responds, red. Yes, he is eating a red apple. Can you repeat that after me? Yes, it looks like a yummy, crisp red apple. Thumbs up if you like yummy, crisp red apples. On Tuesday, he ate through two pears, but he was still... All right, let's see what you would type in. What is the child going to respond, hopefully, learning this vocabulary word? He was still... All right, good. You're still with me. You're still listening. Right, he was still hungry. What is the caterpillar eating now? And here again, you could work on bringing in math skills. Yes, pears. How many pears? Let's count together. One, two green pears. On Wednesday, he ate through three plums, but he was still... And so that's when you would say hungry. Again, allow the child. And what is the caterpillar eating now? Child responds, plums. And a teacher expansion can be, what color are the plums? Or moves to, yes, three purple plums. On Thursday, he ate through four strawberries. Oh, my goodness, but he was still hungry. On Friday, he ate through five oranges, but he was still, child gets to participate, hungry. Now we are at a recall prompt. So let's go back. Who can remember what that caterpillar ate? You guys can type in, pretend you're children. Good. Apple. So on Monday, he ate through one apple. Now it's your opportunity to flip back through the pages to prompt the children if needed, or to look at the pictures and confirm the responses as the children talk. And the teacher continues to expand on the responses if needed. For example, if child simply says apple, that's your opportunity to expand. Yes, the caterpillar ate through a big red apple. And he ate through pears and plums and strawberries and oranges. And you could even ask a distancing question at this point to say, which of these fruits is your favorite fruit? And give children an opportunity to tell you. All right, we're going to keep reading. On Saturday, he ate through one piece of chocolate cake, one ice cream cone, one pickle, one slice of Swiss cheese, one slice of salami, one lollipop, one piece of cherry pie, one sausage, one cupcake. Oh, my goodness, and a slice of watermelon. Oh, if you ate all that food at one time, how do you think you would feel? And again, give children the opportunity to tell you. You can write full, yucky, sick. I see all of your responses coming in, gross. Well, guess what? That is exactly what happened. That night, the caterpillar had a terrible stomach ache. You could also choose a distancing question here. Can you tell me a time when you got sick from eating too much? Which one of these foods is one of your favorite foods to eat? So it's up to you. You know your children. You know the audience in front of you as to what questions you might ask. So the next day was Sunday again, and the caterpillar ate through one nice green leaf. So how do you think the caterpillar felt now after eating through a nice green leaf? Yeah, the caterpillar feels much better. Oh, good. Happy, better. The caterpillar has eaten so much. Do you think he is still a tiny, hungry caterpillar? What might have happened to him? So I'm going to wait and listen to your predictions. He grew. Now he could have exploded. He got bigger. He's so much bigger now. Thank you for participating as children. It is greatly appreciated. Now he wasn't hungry anymore. And he wasn't a little caterpillar anymore. He was a big, fat, and the children can shout out caterpillar. He built a small house called a cocoon around himself. He stayed inside for more than 2 weeks. Then he nibbled a small hole in the cocoon, pushed his way out, and what do you think will happen when he pushes himself out of the cocoon? Right, and this is a vocabulary building opportunity. The caterpillar's house is called a cocoon. Can you repeat that after me? I'm liking this expansion of vocabulary here. He burst into a beautiful butterfly. I did have a little aside here that if you want to provide accurate information to children and substitute the word chrysalis for cocoon, sorry, Eric Carl, I know the world of NCPA exists in New York, and it does in North Carolina, and it is important to give children accurate information. So perhaps you just substitute again and you introduce chrysalis. In my Google searches, I understand that there are a few caterpillars that turn into butterflies that do build cocoons, so that he might not be wrong, and other sources say that is not accurate. But yes, he turns into a beautiful butterfly. And so when we saw the caterpillars on the playground, did you imagine they might turn into a beautiful butterfly? Or if you could turn into something different, what would it be? Oh, my, all you have something to say. Let's turn to who is sitting next to you and tell them what you would want to turn into. And maybe you could type, oh, I see somebody wants to turn into a dinosaur, a unicorn, a giraffe. Well, I have found with my student teachers that truly distancing questions get the most excitement. And at this point in the book, if you save distancing questions till the end, children have understood that they are allowed to be in a conversation with the book, and now they really are excited. And I love all the things that you guys want to be. Oh, it's showing all the colors he ate. Great. Yes, this book is great to cover days of the week, order, conversational skills, for numbers. It's a fabulous book. So distancing questions, turn and talk is a great strategy to use. It really gives children additional opportunities to communicate and share their ideas. And so you will maybe set up the children know who they're going to talk to, or turn to the child next to you, behind you. Your job during turn and talk is to get out of your seat and go around and listen in on conversations. I tell my student teachers that they are not glued to that chair, so that you can get up. And then you do want to have some simple signal to get children to turn back with their attention. So 1, 2, 3, eyes and ears back on me, and the children respond 1, 2, eyes and ears back on you. Have a few children share so that they get the opportunity to talk again and in front of a whole group. It's also a good strategy to allow the children to share what their classmates said to them. So that helps you understand, have they understood what their partner told them? Have a good question here. How long do you allow children to talk to each other? You'll know that. If you are out of your seat and listening, you'll know when to end the conversation that they've all shared, that both groups have had an opportunity. So being very observant as you watch the children in their conversations. And let children know if they can call out or they need to raise their hand. So that is going to be a preference for you. Or there might be some questions that you prompt the children to say, I want everyone to participate. So, for example, and he was still, and children know they don't need to raise their hand. They can respond with hungry. I work with one mentor teacher who actually has visuals for when she wants the children to raise their hand or when it's okay to call out. So your primary goal as a pre-K teacher is to enhance language and literacy skills. And the wonderful thing is that reading to children does this around multiple content areas. Additionally, if children are in a conversation with you, the added benefit is they are increasing their language skills, and that is what dialogic reading research has shown. It also builds social, emotional, and self-regulation skills, how to be involved in social interactions, because there is an opportunity for both of you to have the time to talk and the time to listen, your turn-taking. I understand that many of you have the opportunity to be part of the webinars that Dr. Virginia Bicey and Dr. Ellen Peisner-Feinberg at the Frankfurter Graham Child Development Institute presented. And we know in the response to intervention model that what you want is evidence-based practices, foundational practices at that tier one level. So evidence-based practice is identifying specific research-based practices that have been validated through a rigorous review process and a decision-making process that integrates the best available research evidence with family and professional wisdom and values. So Doing What Works Clearinghouse has through their rigorous look at research found that dialogic reading does have positive effects on oral language. And it was also found to have potentially positive effects on communication and language competencies for children with disability. So all of the special educators in this field that are listening in, it is something, and I will talk more about this in the second webinar. So one of the developers of dialogic reading, Dr. Whitehurst, says that dialogic reading works. Children who have been read to dialogically are substantially ahead of children who have been read to traditionally on tests of language development. Children can jump ahead by several months in just a few weeks of dialogic reading. So I hope you're excited to begin this and watch the vocabulary of your children just begin to grow. We have found these effects with hundreds of children in areas as geographically different as New York, Tennessee, and Mexico, in settings as varied as homes, preschools, and daycare centers, and with children from economic backgrounds ranging from poverty to affluence. There's actually numerous studies that have shown that dialogic strategies are successful across a wide range of languages, and we're going to talk about this a little more in the third webinar. So, dialogic reading strategies promote children's abilities in their first and second languages. Therefore, dialogic reading is a foundational tier one practice. There is research to support that dialogic reading enhances all children's language and vocabulary skills. All right, so we are going to move now to book selection because you now know that this is the way you want to read to children. At least I would suggest once a day. And it's not to say that there's not going to be other times that you read for different purposes. The book that you want to select, high interest, colorful illustrations, not too much text, but text that allows for conversation with the children. Opportunities to ask all types of crowd questions, and an opportunity to have a conversation around the book. So let's think about other Eric Carle books. Why might Brown Bear, or Polar Bear, not be a particularly good choice for dialogic read aloud? And it's not to say that you couldn't do it, but why? What might those books do better? Thank you for participating again. Yes, predictable text, repetitive. And so those books are fabulous because children can begin to learn, and they learn about patterning and how books have patterns. And they can memorize those books and be able to start actually thinking that they can read, like watch me read. But it's not the best book possibly for having a conversation. But why would The Very Busy Spider be another good choice? Exactly. I have great participants out there. Opportunity to converse, opportunities to recall, more of a storyline, more of a plot. This book, Llama Llama Mad at Mama, how many of you know this book? It has been very popular with my student teachers when they are reading to both preschool age children and kindergartners. Think of the opportunities to talk with this book. Distancing question, has your mama ever asked you to go shopping with her and you had to stop playing? You know, how did you feel? So opportunity to talk about emotions, vocabulary building, rhyming. Yucky music, great big feet, ladies smelling, way too sweet, look at knees and stand in line. Llama llama starts to whine. So learning that word whine and what that means. Cheese puffs and Odie crunch. What would llama like for lunch? Llama llama doesn't know. Llama llama just wants to go. So such a good book to use for emotional, social emotional theme, as many of you are writing right now. So this is a book with story and photos that young children can identify with. So as you are planning, you want to think about how you're going to introduce the book. Remember to read the title, author, and illustrator. Give children purpose for reading the book. Capture their interest. Use handout to plan your crowd prompts during the reading. Make sure you have a minimum of two types of each crowd prompt. And you actually are going to put the questions on small sticky notes on the page where that question will be asked. And my student teachers will immediately say, that will be so distracting. The children will be asking about the sticky notes. But if you are doing an amazing job of reading the book with lots of enthusiasm and excitement, they do not notice. And it helps you to know the questions that you have intentionally planned, where they go in the story. I think there was one child across many, many years who asked the student teacher, like, why do you have those sticky notes? And she responded that it was to help her remember the questions that she wanted to ask. And the child was like, wow, that's a great idea. So We have competent and capable children in front of us. And I love that someone says, I love using sticky notes, and I've only been asked about it once. Great. All right. So be thinking of how you will expand on children's responses as you read, and don't simply end the book. Have children retell the story. Have a distancy question to relate the book to their lives. I was so fortunate again to work with the Connect team at FPG, and we developed many handouts, and I was given permission to adapt one of those handouts for you using the example of the Eric Carle book. But this is for you to complete around a book that you choose. And here's a book list that I just found when I Googled. It's from the Teacher Toolkit. I'm sure if you Googled, you will find many dialogic book lists. So any questions right now? I really greatly appreciate how you have participated this afternoon to let me know that there really is an audience out there. Oh, good. I love that people are sharing some of their dialogic reading books. Okay, great question. Is it better to do this as a first read or as a reread, or are there benefits for both? And I would say that there are benefits of both. And again, you know your children best. I know in the classrooms where there are dual language learners, many of the teachers will introduce the book first, just using a lot of the what, where, when questions, introducing vocabulary and the pictures, and then ask those higher level questions such as recall and distancing at a second read. But I have my student teachers just jump right in and read the book the first time, as I showed you, demonstrated today, and it's worked really well. I love this. I always made the books available to my pre-K students after I'd shared the book. And yes, then they get to retell themselves. Fabulous idea. So you also do have available to you the Connect module that have a lot of examples, have some teachers reading to young children. And so you might want to check out that module. And again, you are going to have the opportunity to try this out and then come back and tell me how it worked. I do, by next Thursday, want you to use that handout and give it a try. So even if you don't try it out this coming week, but I hope some of you will, that you will definitely have a book selected and your handout completed. And then the following Thursday, we'll talk about, yes, family members, other adults in children's lives can use dialogic reading and ideas on how to share this information with families. I love this. How do you feel about using this with Tier 2 students? You need to come back next Thursday, and I will talk more about that, because that is what I want to talk about, is individualizing questions for particular students, knowing their IEP goals and what you want them to be involved in. So that will be a topic for next week. I really do want to thank you for participating. Oh, and I'm not going to get off because I'd like to use the strategy to build vocabulary with my new ESL students. I will share that. with Tier 3 older students. I think that's great. In dialogic reading, are you doing multiple readings of the text with teacher reading the story? There's no reason why. I mean, children love hearing stories repeated. That's something that sometimes adults are like, oh my gosh, this child wants me to read this book again. But it's really good for them. Ah, interesting. Distancing was called activating schema. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for allowing me to come to you this way again. I wish I could see all of you. I wish I could have little pictures of each of you, but I can't wait until next Thursday. I do hope some of you will go ahead and try, and then you can come back with questions, concerns, challenges you had. Oh, I love this. I'm going to read The Hungry Caterpillar to my children tomorrow. Fabulous. And so, Molly, I think you're on here, and we were talking about possibly a way, if they wanted to send planning sheets that I could look over, that they would send them to you, and then you would pass them on to me.
Sure. I'm putting in my email address now.
And okay.
Folks, you can just email me, and I will collect those, compile them, and send them off to Dr. Palsha. I did also post a link to the survey, if you could take a few minutes to complete that.
And those of you who have had experience with dialogic reading, and if you're still on, if you could type in some of your favorite books to use, that would possibly be helpful for those who are going to try it for the first time.
Okay, I see we still have some people typing. I just want to thank everybody for joining and hope you'll be back next week. And Dr. Palsha, thank you so much. Very
absolutely.
And if you can hang on for a minute, we'll connect at the end here.
Okay. Well, I'm looking at some of the choices here.